Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate, KU football beat writer at the Journal World and KUSports.com, and I'm joined by Tom Keegan, who, despite his protests and requests to suit up for Saturday's spring game, will not actually be playing in the game.
I didn't make weight.
There you go. Fair enough. I couldn't have said it better myself. We are going to talk about the spring game, though. That's the whole point of this podcast. And, you know, we've kind of been in and out with you throughout the spring. It's kind of gone fast, but obviously culminates with the big spring game on Saturday, 1 p.m., open to the public, free of charge. Looks like it's going to be a good day, a good afternoon, good weather, all that. So no reason not to go if you're listening to this especially. But plenty of things to look for. I mean, this team in a lot of ways is almost a brand new team, and I think there are going to be different things on both sides of the ball that people are going to want to see and want to kind of keep an eye out for, and we're here to bring you a few of those and a few of the ones we'll be looking at. So, Tom, first thing, what are you going to be looking for most in this game? What's the most exciting item on your agenda?
Well, I think Chris Martin, the defensive end, is super exciting. Kean Stowers, defensive lineman. New guys. Cassius Sendish.
Yeah.
You know, Stowers isn't a new guy, but Cassius Sendish, the quarterback. I want to cornerback, excuse me.
That was close.
Tevin Shawn, Greg Allen. New guys. I think any time that you see someone for the first time, you just want to those first impressions last. And sometimes first impressions are misleading. Christian Matthews, two springs in a row, had receiving touchdown passes. I'm predicting he has a nothing spring game and then a good season.
That'd be perfect.
Because he tends to go opposite there.
Yeah, I asked him about that recently. And, you know, he said, hey, I don't really know what happened there. I don't know why I did well in the spring games, and I don't know why I wasn't able to turn those into anything. And the bottom line, I think it comes down to, it's just one day. You know, it's just one practice, basically. I mean, it is a scrimmage, and you put the fanfare with it and all that, and it is important. But, you know, the other day at his press conference when I asked Charlie Weiss, what do you get out of this? What do you evaluate? What does it mean to you? He said, stats mean absolutely nothing. And I think that's great. I mean, I think his insight was really good there.
And he also said he might be looking at guys on the sidelines.
Yeah.
See what their demeanor is. Are they into it for their teammates, for their team?
Right. Yeah, I love that. I mean, if that's, you know, if that's my coach or if I'm a fan of that school, that's what I want to hear.
He's been in the pros. He knows what kind of guys are winners.
Sure.
What kind of personalities are winners.
Sure. Let me ask you, Jake Heaps, new guy or not?
Yeah, he's a new guy. But, you know, yeah, you're going to be allowed to hit them when they're out of the pocket, but in the pocket you got the red shirt on. And I don't think it's as big a concern as with Dane Chris, but I think we're all a little misled, obviously, by Dane Chris. He did well in the spring game, but he did unbelievably well in that one open practice where everything was just on the money, but you couldn't rush. In those All-Star games, you couldn't blitz.
Right.
So, you know, you can only tell so much about a quarterback in a spring game when he's wearing a red shirt.
I remember last year's spring game, and I remember the game story that I wrote was largely shaped around Dane Chris's day. Number one, it was the first real action we got to see of him, so I kind of felt like that was the angle I had to take.
Yep.
And his numbers were good enough to where that still made sense for the story. But I remember as I was writing it, when I filed it, thinking, yeah, I might be forcing this a little bit. And, you know, call me a prophet or not, I never went further than that. I never claimed to have that feeling any beyond that point, but it was a sign of things to come. You know, he wasn't great in that game. The numbers were good, but not great. And so I think with Jake Heaps, I think it's going to be very interesting to see. If I'm a fan and I'm listening to this, what I want to watch, or what I would watch from Jake Heaps, is the way he carries himself. Not necessarily his release or his scramble ability or any of that stuff. I think the most impressive thing that I've seen from Jake Heaps this spring and this offseason has been his confidence, the way he gets his teammates to rally around him, his demeanor, his tempo, everything that you want to see in a quarterback, he has, I think. And so if the plays are there and things are executed right, I think this guy will succeed. And so I think much like Charlie Weiss, who might be watching some of those guys on the sideline and their body language and stuff like that, I would take a look and just see what you see from Jake Heaps there, because I think he has a lot to offer in that department. I think he's already shown a little bit about that.
And it'll be fun to see how they use Tony Pearson, because Charlie's talked a lot about making him the next Tevin Austin, which is exciting. And I mean, and Tony's such an exciting player and really a versatile guy that Charlie is going to really – it's going to be fun watching Charlie use him.
Tavon Austin, one of the fastest dudes. He's I just saw the most recent, you know, West Virginia player who's coming out. Most recent mock draft has him 10th. I mean, that's pretty good. What we've learned about Charlie Weiss ever since he redid the heights and redid the weights, right? You know, this guy is now, he's no longer 6 foot. He's 5'10 and three quarters or 5'10 and a half or whatever. We know that the heights and weights are dead accurate, and that those things, Charlie's not gonna fudge on those things. The other day he said Tony Pearson runs a 4.340.
Right.
He's not lying. I mean, that's, if you base that off of those other things,
right,
that has to be the truth. And that is absolutely flying.
Yeah, and you can see that. He flies.
Right. I mean, it doesn't take him anything to get up to that speed either. I mean, for a guy with a short stride and a small build, He takes 2-3 steps and he's almost at top speed already.
And it's such a smooth runner. Watching him do the drills the other day was like watching Ben McLemore run the floor.
There
it's
you
like
go.
They're floating and their body's not even moving and they're going 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's why I agree with you. I mean, a lot of the off-season talk, especially in the spring, has been about Tony, how they're going to use him, where they're going to use him. You know, he told me the other day that he's been worked 80-20 in terms of pass, receiver, and running back. They're going to motion him a lot.
80 being pass receiver.
80 being, receiver.
Cool.
They're going to motion him a lot. Jake Heaps told me it's all about matchups. You know, if they motion him here and one of the fastest players on the defense lines up with him, they'll probably run him back and try to find a linebacker or somebody that he doesn't, you know, necessarily, that he does have a good matchup against. And the reason being, get him the ball, have him make one guy miss instead of 11. If he does, he could score a bunch of touchdowns this year. So that's very exciting, no question about it. How much of the competitiveness of this game means something to you? I mean, you know, it's sort of evenly split, but I think the blue team has more of the front line, you know, marquee names on it, so it's not a straight down the middle split. You know, do you expect it to be competitive? Do you care if it's competitive?
Anytime I'm watching any sporting event, I want it to be competitive.
Yeah.
And I want to care who wins and who loses.
Okay.
And based on the personalities on the team or as the game develops, sometimes I'll sit down and watch a game, and the two schools I'm watching don't mean anything to me at the start of the game. And then the personality that one team shows, I'm rooting hard for them at the end.
Sure.
Just watching it alone in my basement.
Yeah.
Does that make me a loser? Well, that probably doesn't, but there's a number of other
things. Plenty of other things, yes.
But I do love watching live sporting events. And even though this is an exhibition, it's a lot of guys who I'm excited to see their development. And I'm not the best in the world at watching offensive line, but I'm going to try to.
And you do try. You work, honestly, people that are listening, Tom Keegan works on that as much as anyone I've ever known. There have been plenty of times during games that we've covered together that you'll say, okay, on this play, I'm going to watch Dwayne Zlatnik.
Yes.
And maybe even from the time you tell me that to the time the ball snapped, you forget. But you still do work on that, and I think that's awesome. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, we're extra eyes for our readers, and
here's a guy I'm going to watch.
Okay,
if I remember, and
you
remind
me, I'll remind you.
Damon Martin, the guard who got a start or two last year, and it looks like he knows what he's doing and everything.
Yeah.
But and Charlie, I was glad to hear called him physical the other day.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if he had that or not, and I'm going to watch for that. And maybe he's one of the surprises in the fall, because I am concerned about the offensive line, and Charlie tried to placate those concerns the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he said, you may think that they're not, the run blocking's not going to be as good, but in many ways it could be better, because we're more physical on the offensive line, was the way he worded it.
And he's talking Nalu Fusumalohi.
Right.
Damon Ooh, Martin.
That was impressive.
That was pretty good, right? Damon Randall Martin Dunn. And Randall Dent. Yeah. I mean, those are... And then Mike Smithberg is another guy who's sort of, I think he called them road graders. You know, another nasty physical. He'll play center, probably, right?
He'll probably be the starting center when it's all said.
It sounds that way, definitely. Martin's an interesting one, though. I agree with you. I think that, I hate the word upside. It's so cliche. But his potential, his upside, I mean, he has... I've heard that this is the guy that wins a lot of drills and looks horrible doing it. His technique's off, his first step's wrong, his hands are wrong, but he still wins the drill. So if they can harness that, if Grunhard and Rod Jones and the whole offensive staff can harness that and actually get him doing technically sound stuff, this guy could be a big time player.
And he's number 73 if you want to watch him along with 74 is Riley, 79, I'm sorry. 79 is Riley Spencel, who is competing with Pat Lewandowski at left tackle right now, is he not?
Yeah, you know that early in the spring that was one of the ones that Charlie Weiss said would be one of the better battles in the spring and in the fall and for a while and pretty early, Lewandowski jumped way out ahead. I mean, you know, good athlete, teachable, good feet, everything. But here, just this week, Coach Weiss said, hey, look, one surprise lately, Riley Spencer's back in the mix. He's back in the competition. And you
like hearing that.
Yeah, because he's got experience. Riley Spencer's huge, number one. He is a mountain.
6'6", 302, I think. 6'6", 302.
And he has played significant snaps during the portion of a couple of seasons.
Had some injury problems multiple times. But, and Aslam Strings at the right tackle just needs more consistency. His body looks way better.
I really like what they did with the line in the spring game. I mean, I like that they divided it up. And it's not the first string line on one team and the second on the other. You've got Coach Weiss called the run-blocking guys, their strength on the white team.
And Michael Cummings' team.
Yeah, the running team, right. And then the pass-blocking strength on the blue team, which is led by Jake Heaps. So I think that's a unique way to do it. Again, it's not a perfect division right down the roster because the blue side has James Sims, it has Tony Pearson. If you're splitting it and if you're putting the run team out there, those guys would be on the running team probably. So it's not a perfect split.
This could be a big game for Taylor Cox.
It could be.
He's got the run blockers on his side and they're going to be calling a lot of runs, white team.
If there's Vegas prop bets and whatnot, he'd be a good one to look at. I agree with you. There's definitely some guys on that white roster that are worth keeping an eye on, though. I mean, I think Michael Cummings is worth watching, you know, and Charlie talked about his progression and that he's making fewer mistakes and that he's more confident now. What did he say? He's calling plays instead of just reading plays or something like that. And he did explain that there's a difference. You know, it's not just looking at the wristband and calling, reading off the play, you know, Z90, 40X right or whatever. It's actually being in the game and calling the game and I think that rubs off on teammates in terms of your confidence and all that. So
I still don't like the touch he puts on the ball. I think he throws everything the same speed, 190 miles an hour.
Sure.
Super strong arm, which is great when he's throwing long, and it's not so great when he's throwing short.
Brandon Bourbon, another guy on the white roster, the running team.
This could have a big spring game,
and I talked to him recently. I know you did too. Brandon Bourbon missed the majority of his first two springs in town. And, you know, this is his third, but he said it really feels like it's first. So, he's had injury problems. And I've seen a couple of times this spring where he looks healthy. He looks good. And what he told me was really cool, and I know you had a similar conversation with him. He said, I'm not frustrated, you know. It is what it is. I just have to continue every day to believe that I'm the best back on the team, and then when I get my chance, go out and prove it.
And I asked him what has kept him. I said, what would Charlie Weiss tell me if he chose to answer the question on why someone as big and fast as you doesn't play more? And Brandon said that he needs to just run straight ahead sometimes and realize that he's got the speed to not cut. Sometimes he's got to read the defense better and trust the play and trust his own speed better. And it'll be interesting to see if we can pick up on any difference in his running style when we watch the game on Saturday.
No doubt about it. Well, let's quickly wrap up with not a game prediction, not a score prediction, but a unit prediction. Who's going to have the best day, offense and defense? Pick a unit on both sides.
I'm going to say defensive line for the defense.
Okay.
And I'm going to say running backs for the offense.
You took a couple of good ones there. I'll just to be different, I'll take the quarterbacks. I think Jake Heaps will have a nice day. And on defense, I got to agree with you. I mean, I know that's not good radio, as they say, but I think the defensive line's had a really nice spring. Charlie Weiss said Keon Stowers has been as good as it gets this spring, and that's pretty awesome to hear.
Yeah.
Chris Martin, another guy that
he said hey, you can't single cover
him. Can't block him with one. Yeah.
Can't block him with one is what he said.
So
single cover would be receiver.
Yeah, and I mean he could probably run routes and have to draw a double team too, you know.
He could probably be a tight end, actually.
There's another
I don't know
one.
How his hands are, but
if you're going with a sleeper position, I'd say tight end. I think Jermaine Mundine and Jordan Shelley Smith, those guys could have a nice spring game too. So I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I agree with you 100% what you said. Out of the gate here, that a lot of the new guys are going to draw the attention.
Justin McKay, we didn't even mention him.
There you go. That's a perfect example. This is a game. They're out there practicing. They're working on stuff, but they're also doing it for the fans.
They know that there's a lot of people watching them, and there's going to be a lot written about them and shown on TV.
Yeah.
And they want a piece of the pie here. It's their only shot during the spring.
Yeah.
To have thousands of people watching them in the stands, and they don't want to lay a dud.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, expect the ball to be flying around a little bit and you know, expect it to be competitive. I think even though most of the bigger names are on this blue roster, I think the white squad has a chance to be perfectly competitive. I think there's a lot of tough guys on that squad, and I think it'll be fun to see how hard they compete. And I really like what K-State does at their spring game. You might have heard this. Some of you might have heard this. But they play ones against twos, I believe, and then whatever the score is at halftime, say the first string is winning 24-0 at halftime, they flip it. And so then the second half, the first string starts down 24-0. I think that's the coolest thing. I wish KU would do that once just to see. Because, you know, that like you said, you want to be competitive. Any kind of live game action, that's your human nature.
Of course, then if you're the first team, do you not score on purpose?
You're only up 3-0.
Some of these golf tournaments that flight it, and these idiots do lousy the first day so they can get in the bad flight and win their $50 gift certificate.
What a mess. I've never heard of such a thing. All right, well, there's a good segue. Go play golf in the morning and then show up at the spring game in the afternoon. 1 o'clock, not you, Tom. 1 o'clock
way ahead of you.
Saturday. It'll be a good time. It looks like the weather will finally feel like spring again, and we will certainly be there, and we'll have coverage throughout the game and, of course, after the game as well. So check us out then, and thanks for checking out this podcast. We'll talk to you guys next time.